His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children.
To see a song like this impact at this point of my life just feels like just so beautiful, to get to watch God, you know, whisper something to your ears and you start to be brave and sing it out, and it, you know, turns into a song, and then it just goes all the way around the world, and then I'm just like, I'm undone. It just feels like such a beautiful honor to get to be a part of something that the heart of God wants to do for people. It's so fun.
The Profile. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Profile, here on Premier Christian Radio with me, Megan Cornwell. This is the show where we delve into a person's life, faith and ministry, and it's brought to you in association with the UK's leading Christian magazine, Premier Christianity. If you would like a free copy of the latest issue of the magazine, head over to our website, premierchristianity.com. Today on the show, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the wonderful Carrie Jobe. Her hit worship song, The Blessing, went viral earlier this year and has been considered anointed by many. I caught up with a worship leader to ask her how The Blessing came about and what God has been teaching her during this pandemic. Listen in.
Well, look, Carrie, I've got to start by asking you about that song, The Blessing. You know, it's gone viral. So many people are talking about it. What does it feel like to know the impact that that song is having?
It's really beautiful. It's been really, honestly, it's felt like a gift in this whole pandemic season, because I think for our family, not only just singing it over my babies and them, they've learned to sing it back to me. And like my little 1.5-year-old will sing the amens with me. And it's just my favorite thing. It just feels like a gift though, to read comments and DMs and emails and all the things of what people are saying and how it's helping them have peace, how it's helping remind them of the heart of God for them. And, you know, like doing ministry and hearing that kind of feedback is so impactful and encouraging, you know, so it's been a really sweet gift for our family.
Well, I have a confession to make. I had the coronavirus really badly in March, and I was in a very dark place, and a very good friend of mine sent me your song, and I had never heard it before. And I have to tell you, Carrie, it had a huge impact on me in terms of my journey of healing. I went from being, you know, I was nearly hospitalized. I was very sick. And I listened to that song and it just brought hope back to me. You know, I was just reminded of the truth of God, that God was with me and for me. And it just played a massive part in my healing. So I want to thank you for that. Gosh. But I'm sure that you have heard many, many testimonies like that. So when you hear those kind of stories, what is that like for you?
Oh, I just get very emotional. It just means so much because, you know, we all are living our lives in pursuit of the presence of God and, you know, holding on to the word of God for dear life. And, you know, like some of the things that come our way are so difficult. It means the world to me because I just feel like, you know, doing ministry and being a songwriter and leading worship for all these years, I've been leading worship for like well over 20 years now, which is crazy, you know, but to see a song like this impact at this point of my life, it just feels like just so beautiful to get to watch God, you know, whisper something to your ears and you start to be brave and sing it out and it, you know, turns into a song and then it just goes all the way around the world. And then you know, like you're in your bed and just weeping and letting the Lord minister to you. I'm undone. It just feels like such a beautiful honor to get to be a part of something that the heart of God wants to do for people. It's so fun. So.
I mean, it is phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, you've had the video online has had like 29 million views. The UK version is like 4 million. I mean, it really is phenomenal how it's taken off. My theory is that during the pandemic, Christians have felt a bit lost, you know, at times. We've wondered where God is in all of this. And I think the blessing with its lyrics taken straight from scripture has just reminded us of the goodness of God. You know, it's reminded us that he's with us in our weeping and our rejoicing. Would you agree with that sort of assessment?
1,000%. And I think something that's been really like the truth of it coming out like a week before the pandemic began to just sweep across the globe, I think there was something for all of us of like, okay, God, you already knew, you know, we know that because we read that in scripture, but it's another thing to have to walk it out to know in our own heart, like, okay, God, you are in control. But those little things like that to me are like gifts from the Lord of him saying, hey, I've already gone before you, just like I say in my word. And I think that's part of maybe why that song has meant so much to people, just the timing, you know, just the Lord saying now, right now. Because we wrote, sang it and put it out in 10 days. And then a week later was when the pandemic swept across the globe. And we just looked at it going, God, thank you that you just gave all of us something tangible to hold on to in a season that just feels so hard and unknown.
Mm. And tell me about the process of writing it, Carrie. Did you feel at that time when you're producing the song that it was something special? Or was it just simply once you started to get the feedback across the world that you sort of realize the impact it was having?
Yeah, it felt really sweet that day. You know, sometimes you write a song and you're like, there's something special. It feels sweet and like special to be singing this. But it wasn't until that weekend that we did it at Elevation Church when we saw the response in the room, which was the last time for us to be in the room full of people. Which who knew that was going to happen, you know? And so, and then we started seeing like on social media that day, people reposting 15 second clips. And I remember that night, Cody and I just sitting in the hotel room, watching all these people like spread these 15 second videos saying, where can I find this? Where can I go watch this? Where can I hear this? And that fed into us, helping us make the decision of we need to get this out right now. For some reason, people are wanting this and we need to obey the Lord. And so just crazy.
Let's talk a bit about your journey to faith, Carrie. So you became a Christian at 5, is that right?
I did, yes.
Wow. I know. That's very young. What was it about Jesus that convinced you at that age that he was worth following?
So I grew up in a Christian home. My parents did ministry. And so I was in different like sweet little Baptist churches a lot when I was a little girl. I remember hearing the gospel a lot when I was little. And when I was 5, I was in like the little kids ministry and they were doing flannel graph, like a little story with these little like stick on flannel things on this board. And something about them sharing the story of Jesus and how he wanted to live in my heart, it just clicked for me. And I remember like, oh, the Jesus my mom and dad talk about, he wants to live in my heart too. And so I just remember it being a really impactful morning at church. And then of course, probably like most everyone else, I got saved every summer at kids camp. And, you know, thinking that I had to like rededicate my life to the Lord until I realized like, no, I'm saved. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit at 10. And that began, honestly, when I was 10 is when I started feeling in my heart that I wanted to do worship. So I was really impacted by the presence of God really young. And I'm very thankful for that.
So that was the start of your worship ministry at that, even then at a very young age.
It really was. When I was 10, I remember telling my parents, like, I want to write songs. I want to write songs about Jesus. I want to help people connect with who God is. And I got to lead worship in our kids ministry. My first worship list was kind of a comical worship list. It was like Bingo, the dog song, B-I-N-G-O. I think it was John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that like pub song. And my parents were like, "Carrie, these songs are not about Jesus." And I was like, "Oh, but they're songs that all the kids know. They'll be able to sing along." And they're like, "Well, that's a good point, but it needs to be about Jesus too." So I remember having to like go change my little worship list to turn it into our pastor.
You've talked a little bit about your kids already and sort of singing the blessing with them. Do you have any tips for Christian parents in terms of worshiping at home?
Oh man, we're probably just like everyone else. We put a lot of YouTube videos on, and there's times that if it's real chaotic in the house, I'll just say, "Okay, we're going to worship Jesus. Everyone in the living room, we're turning on worship music, and we're going to let the Lord just bring us peace." You know, I think it's probably like any other family, just having to, you know, help them understand who the Lord is. And last night we had a really powerful moment with Canyon, our 4.5-year-old, reading a book about Jesus. And he started to ask more questions. And I can tell he's real inquisitive and starting to, he said that Jesus lives in his heart, but also outside of his heart. And I was like, "Okay, well, I want him to always live in your heart."
It sounds like you're better than me. When I say, "I'm going to pray for you now," my daughter goes, "Oh."
We get some of that too. He's like, "I don't want to pray." I'm like, "No, we need to pray."
That's brilliant. Carrie, is there anything that you as a family have specifically learned about God during this lockdown?
Oh man, I feel like it's something new maybe every week. I've just been really thankful for his peace. You know, there was a lot of fear at the beginning of this pandemic for us. And as a mom, you know, not wanting my babies to get sick, not wanting us to get sick, and just having to resolve in my heart that I trust the Lord no matter what, you know, and even, you know, getting sick, and that just letting the Lord reveal himself to us in those moments. It's just been really powerful. I feel like I grew muscles in the area of trust with the Lord, you know, muscles that I didn't realize I really needed. And I could say I trusted the Lord, but we've had to really walk that out, you know, in this season of, "Okay, God, we're going to trust you in our finance. We're going to trust you in our relationships, missing being at church, missing being in community, you know, all the things you didn't think would ever go away." But it's been really, it's been hard, but it's been really sweet in the way of just letting God meet us in that place. So not that I've enjoyed this season, but he does turn things for our good. I have seen that.
Carrie, let's talk about worship in general. So you've got several awards and you've got accolades behind you. What are your top tips for writing worship songs?
Jesus, relationship with Jesus, you know, nothing means more to me than to hear a story, even like what you shared, that a song met you in a place of intense just need, you know. And I don't think that we can write unless we've had those intimate experiences with the Lord, you know. I think that encounter with God is so important, to write from encounter, to write from experience. You know, I couldn't tell you about a friend of mine if I didn't spend a lot of time with that friend, you know, and it's that way with Jesus. And so I feel like those that want to write, those that want to be worship leaders, it's so important to be friends with Jesus and to have that real, true, authentic relationship. And just to trust him with the process, to trust him with, I think for every song that I allow or that I like record or that I like feel led to put out there, there's probably 5 to 6 songs behind that song that I don't, because it doesn't feel right, or there's just been this like worship. I've been trying to like get out of my spirit, but it doesn't feel like it landed in a song, you know? So it's just such a process, and we can't rush it. And I think out of relationship comes some of the most beautiful, beautiful moments.
And that brings us nicely to talking about your new album. So this is also entitled The Blessing. Why did you decide to produce an album now, right in the middle of a pandemic?
Yep. We were already in process for recording this year at some point. And The Blessing was actually like the icing on the cake. It was the last song we wrote for the album. And I felt like right before the pandemic, I felt like, oh, I really think that I feel ready to record this. Sorry, can you hear my babies? Yeah, so when the pandemic hit, we weren't going to be able to tour. We just began to ask the Lord, like, what do we do? And I just felt like the Lord was like, I want you to start leaning in on your album. And I remember thinking like, no, thank you. I don't want, like, that felt very, it just felt so unknown. But in my spirit, I just kept feeling like the Lord was like, just trust me, just start to lean in, plan for June and July is all I felt like I heard the Lord say. And so we just kept moving forward, just however we knew to do it well. We had our pastors involved and just leaned into that wisdom and leadership. And our pastor, one of our pastors is one of the guys that produced it. So we just felt like really surrounded with wisdom. So we ended up recording with no people in the room, which is, you know, crazy to record a live worship project without the worshipers in the room. But the live streams for church had been so powerful. And I just felt like, well, Lord, I feel so strongly that the timing is right now. And some of these songs I wrote like a year and a half to 2 years ago for the project. So I was like, I just felt like tons more time that the songs would lose their potency for this, for the now word that I felt like was in those songs. So I just felt like, well, let's just go for it and see what happens. We got to be really creative, which you can see in the videos. We got to just like create such a beautiful room and all the lighting. And I think some of those creative elements we wouldn't have been able or wouldn't have thought to do. I think that's that innovative thing that happens when you have to create something new in a season that you don't know what's going on. So I think it turned out really beautiful. I'm really thankful we trusted the Lord with the timing, because even just the reactions and the responses with First Love and Your Nature Already, I just feel like, okay, Lord. It did feel like I was a Noah building an ark in the middle of something that made no sense. But, you know, you just, I know enough in my relationship with him at this point of my life that I knew, I felt like he was saying, please keep moving forward on this. So we trusted him. We went with wisdom. And, you know, I feel like it was timely.
Well, it's a beautiful new album, Carrie. And so many of the songs I feel, both in this album and your previous work, talk about the love of God and the heart of God. Is that sense of God's love for you and God's love for his people, is that something you've always had from such a young age when you became a Christian? Or is it something that God has been teaching you over the years through the vicissitudes of life?
I think both, honestly. You know, I love the heritage of you know, the home I was raised in. My parents always talked about the love of God and the presence of God. So it was always very real and tangible. And I think just growing up, you know, in relationship with the Lord and watching over the years what that really means as you walk that out, what that means when you're in the nitty-gritty of life and the hard stuff, when he meets you with his love, when he meets you with his the power of his presence, you know. So I would say both. I think I'm really thankful for growing up like that. You know, you just don't know some things about the Lord until you walk through hardship. And I think we're afraid of hardship and we're afraid of the unknowns, but we wouldn't have to cry out for him to be our comforter if we didn't need to be comforted. And we wouldn't have to cry out for him to be healer if we didn't need healing. You know, those are the beautiful things in our relationship with him that change our life, and they grow our spiritual muscles, you know, to for the next thing of adversity that we face. And I just love that he promises he never leaves or forsakes, because he doesn't. And it's just a beautiful walk and a journey with him.
And for you, what have been some of those hardships?
Oh man, lots of things. Just a couple different things. Like when I was in my teens, we had a family member in a secret lifestyle, and that began, and he had to go to prison for the secret lifestyle that he'd been living. And it accosted me. It was like, it astonished me that I thought I knew someone and I didn't. And I had to learn, God, do I know you? Like, can I trust you? Or are you going to all of a sudden change your character on me? And so that began a journey of that. Just, I think, walking through some difficulties with my family, my sister losing a baby a couple years back. I think you can sit idle in your relationship with the Lord, and then those hardships just like make you have to use those muscles of, what do I really believe? You know, I believe this for other people, but I don't think I believed it for myself, you know? But I'm thankful for those things I've walked through, because it's made me have to decide what I believe, you know? And then about a year and a half ago, my baby, when he was 7 weeks old, I was out on a walk, walking around this really beautiful lake here in Nashville, and the stroller got away from me, because my other son fell. And when he fell, I turned around to grab him, pick him up. Well, the stroller rolled, and I didn't realize it. And it fell, and it actually fell into the water. And I had to jump into the water to get my baby. And it was a very supernatural thing. I think the Lord really helped me save my baby's life. And that night when I got home, I've never in my life heard the cry that came out of my voice, but it was like a mama bear, but also a very angry mama, like saying, that's enough. I'm not going to live in fear. And I just began to cry out to the Lord. I began to just declare over my family that the enemy had to back off, that I wasn't going to live under torment and fear. And that, you know, it really changed my life, actually. And watching God just go before me, he provided, all of a sudden, all these people appeared from nowhere on the hiking path and helped us get the baby. And I looked back and watched how God, he just uses all of it. And if we'll let him come in and heal and do the deep work that he wants to do in our lives, it can change our lives, you know? I could have kept walking in extreme fear from that, you know, become a like helicopter mom. But I've watched God like set me free from fear and torment through that. And out of that came a song called Your Nature, which is on this album. And I was already going through some pretty bad postpartum at the time. And it broke a spirit of depression and torment off of me, because I was like, that's enough. I'm going to trust the Lord, and God's going to go before us. And these are his babies, and they're my gift. And I'm going to trust him with them and not try to control everything. And, you know, that anxiety that sets in. And there's still moments of that, of course, but I just love that the Lord, he just uses all of it to help us. And
Carrie, just good to go back to worship again and your ministry for a minute. So in the UK at the moment, it may be the same where you are. Churches are still not able to worship in the traditional sense, so we're not allowed to sing because of the potential spread of the virus. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for struggling leaders wondering how to connect their congregants to Jesus at this time?
Oh man, I mean, it's just so difficult. And there's a reason the word says, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren, you know? So I think people are so wired for community. But I think the most beautiful thing is that people are leaning in. They are searching online for things that will give them hope and peace. And I think for our community, what we've watched is just, we just kept doing what we do online, like we would if there were people in the room, you know? And God's been showing up, and we feel it on our couch. We feel it in our house. It's just been supernatural, you know? I think that whole thing of don't grow weary in well-doing, you know, I really feel like the Lord is just, he's very present. this hasn't changed his heart for his people. This hasn't changed his heart for us having encounters with him. So I think as a leader, maybe the hardest part is still having those encounters for myself at home without the hype, without the assembling, you know, but it's such a spiritual exchange, you know, getting in the word, continuing to you know, find things that like bring life to me as a leader so that I can lead from overflow. Those things are such a supernatural thing, you know. So I just would encourage those leaders to keep pressing in, keep worshiping Jesus, you know, keep that worship on in our homes. And that really does shift the atmosphere. Those days that I feel like, oh my goodness, I don't want to do this anymore, you know, I just turn on worship on YouTube and let it just roll, and just it just shifts things, you know. So, but I just pray that they feel refreshed in the presence of God and that they're able to keep doing this, because I think people are still so hungry.
And Carrie, around about this time last year, you and your husband were photographed at the White House and filmed talking about praying for President Trump and the good things that his administration has been doing for faith communities. Given the photo and the video were shared on social media prior to your knowledge, do you think, or do you feel in any way that that Trump has used prominent Christians, yourself included, to shore up the evangelical vote?
Oh goodness, I have no idea. I really have no clue. I'm such a trusting person that when something comes out that you're like, huh? You know, you're like, oh, I guess that could be shifted in a way that wasn't meant to be. But it really was such a strong, beautiful day to be with his team and just to pray. The reason we went was they asked if we would come and just lead worship in the White House and pray over their team. And getting to pray over Trump that day, I cried the entire time, because I just, you know, any leader, God's put a mantle on them to lead. It says he appoints leaders and that he's in control of those decisions. And so it's like, wow, God, he'll use the just and the unjust. You know, he says he reigns on the just and the unjust. And so I don't know, but I do know that I always want to be able to be a positive voice. I always want to be able to just, whether it's an evil person or a really righteous person, I always want to go in, and if they ask me to come pray, I want to pray. If they ask me to come lead worship, I want to go lead worship, because it's the Spirit of God that changes hearts and the Spirit of God that brings revival. And so I don't know, but I do know that part. Yeah, that was kind of a scary unknown at, you know, after the fact. You're like, oh, maybe we should have been more careful about that, but oh well.
Carrie, finally, what does 2021 have in store for you and your family?
Oh, who knows?
That far ahead.
I know. I'm like, I pray that the pandemic is over.
Amen.
That my boys can go to school. What else? As a mom, what I like? I just pray that this season is over and that we can go on, that we can just forget about 2020. I pray that we can come to London. It's one of my favorite cities. I turned 40 in 2021 and I want to go to London and Italy. So I'm praying that I can come. That's my hope. You know, another dream of mine is to come do, we want to do a night of worship in Royal Albert Hall. I think with what happened with the blessing, I feel like we could do it. I feel like it would be a really cool night.
That would be amazing.
Honestly, we got a few from different countries, but the UK one made us weep. I mean, like ugly crying. And I just love the UK. I've always had such a heart for the UK. And anytime I get to lead worship there, it's always so powerful. And just there's just such a reverence for the presence of God in the UK. And I don't know if it's because of the traditional way of doing church there and just revival. But it's just such a beautiful place to worship God. So it's been beautiful to watch that video.
Sorry, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you so much, and good luck with the release of your new album.
Thank you. It's beautiful talking to you. I appreciate it.
That's the end of part one of today's profile interview. In part two, Sam Hales catches up with worship leader and pastor Tim Hughes, who organised the UK version of The Blessing, which has now had over 4 million views. Don't miss their fascinating conversation coming up next.
The Profile. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Profile here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Sam Hales. You joined us for part two. In part one, you heard my colleague Megan Cornwell interviewing Carrie Jobe about that hit song, The Blessing, that she was involved in writing and putting together, based, of course, on scripture and the blessing in the Old Testament. It's a song that's really gone all round the world. And with that in mind, we wanted to bring you a special edition of The Profile now in part two, because we're replaying an interview that I did with Tim Hughes. If you cast your mind back, you may remember The Blessing doing the rounds a little bit, and actually Christians and churches from all different parts of the world all getting involved in covering that song. Well, the UK Blessing, as it became known, was by far one of the biggest versions of that. Tim Hughes himself even received an award from the Prime Minister Boris Johnson in recognition of it. Tim himself, as you'll hear, is quite humble about all of that, and actually is just saying that this was something that lots of different people were involved in, as indeed they were. I think over 70 different churches, worship leaders coming together to cover The Blessing song and put out this UK version of it. But Tim Hughes was one of the people behind it who really created it and pulled it all together. So I spoke to Tim Hughes, this is back in May, about a worship video which at that point had had over 1 million hits on YouTube. Well, I can reveal that right now, in December, we're looking at 4 million. 4 million people have viewed the UK Blessing. And you're going to hear all about the idea, how it came about, Tim Hughes' involvement in it. So without any further ado, let's listen in to my conversation with Tim Hughes. I'm joined now by Tim Hughes. We're here to talk about the UK Blessing, which I'm sure you've seen already. It's had over 750,000 views on YouTube alone. It's set to pass 1 million very, very soon. It's this amazing recording of lots of different Christians and churches coming together and singing a worship song. Tim, what is your reaction to worship going viral?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, obviously this is a fantastic song written by a bunch of friends in America, and they just put this beautiful melody to this incredible blessing book of Numbers, and this sentiment that God is for us, for his people, for our world, and to be able to gather loads of UK churches. I mean, it's just, there's over 65 churches involved that represent hundreds more, and that's just a small little kind of part of God's UK church. But to see them all come together to sing this out over the UK, over the land, that God is for them, that God wants to bless people, it is absolutely beautiful. And I think one of the things I've certainly been talking about over the last 6 months is I felt what God is doing in the church in terms of worship is we're seeing a sound of his people singing. You know, there's been lots of worship leaders that God's raised up, and that's been beautiful. But I think actually the time's coming when God is just raising up his church, the sound of his people. It's not one individual, it's just lots of people worshipping through song. And I think this is like a little glimpse of what I believe we're going to see much, much more of.
So tell me, where did this idea come from? I know you've been very keen to point out this is not about any one individual, it's not about you, it's not about any one church, but presumably someone somewhere first came up with the idea. So tell us that story.
Well, to be told, the first thing I saw of it was this thing called the Pittsburgh Blessing. In America, a bunch of churches got together and sang this over their city, and it's beautiful. And then I had a call within 24 hours from Pete Gregg and from Nikki Gumbel, and my wife Rachel was also saying, the UK, we should do something. So basically, we thought, let's call lots of friends, lots of different networks, denominations, people, and see if everyone can send in, you know, someone from their church singing this song. And then we sort of just edited it all together, the videos. And I mean, it was amazing. I mean, these are musicians who aren't the most organized. And, you know, we spoke to them all on the Friday and the Saturday, and every video had to be in by the Tuesday, and everyone got behind it. Everyone said yes. And I just think it's been a beautiful thing seeing it all come together.
So tell me a bit more about that song. You mentioned a couple of people from America wrote it. What is it about that song that's so powerful? Because it's not just this, the Blessing video you've put together. Loads of churches have sort of suddenly taken this song on. It's only been released quite recently. I mean, is it true that God just anoints a particular song for a particular time? What exactly are we seeing here?
I think so. I think there are some songs that when you sing them or when you hear them, something just shifts and you can't make it happen. You can't manufacture it. You can't sit down and we're going to write one of these songs. But some songs, you know, they come and go where it just connects in a deep way. And I think at such a unique time of global crisis, global uncertainty, spiritual hunger and inquisitiveness, you know, we're seeing in the UK so many people fascinated by prayer and, you know, church online attendance has gone through the roof. I think just this song, to know that actually God is for us. Often people think the church is sometimes perhaps not being the best at communicating, you know, the church can be seen as a place of judgment and kind of what it's against. But actually, we carry the greatest message known on planet Earth, that God loves us, God is for us, God wants relationship with us, God wants to bring life in all its fullness. And I think this song just carries that in a beautiful way.
The message of the video is that our buildings might be closed, but the church is still open. Tell me a bit about how you've seen that, both in your church, in Gas Street, but also across the country and across the world. How have you seen the church demonstrating that, that we're still open, we're still the church, even if our buildings are shut?
Yeah, well, the church is never about a building, is it? I mean, that's the New Testament. The church is, it's living stones, it's you, it's me, it's us. And that's what I love seeing, is that the church innovates, it adapts. The vision to bless cities, to love people stays the same. And so what we've seen, our church in Birmingham, Gas Street, we've partnered and been a part of this amazing thing called Love Your Neighbour. Lots of churches, particularly within the HTB network, but beyond that, are gathering together with food banks and phone calls to people who are isolated and vulnerable, hot meals to NHS frontline workers. And, you know, for our church, it's been amazing to see in this crisis, in this challenge, it rise up to really serve our city, to be a blessing. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city. We're seeing that, you know, we're serving hundreds of meals every week. We're getting phone calls from people who of all different kind of backgrounds, just thanking us for being kind. And again, I think that's what's powerful, is with this song, the blessing is, we're not just proclaiming this blessing, these words over our nation. The church is demonstrating, you know, just a small group of churches who were recorded in the song. We kind of did some kind of work on the stats, and they would have served 400,000 meals since COVID-19 lockdown. So, you know, the church is doing some remarkable things, and it's beautiful to see.
Do you think people are generally aware of that? I mean, do you think that message has come through in the media, that the church is still open and serving local communities?
I don't think it really has. I think the media hasn't quite picked up on this. And, you know, it's a shame, but I think church just needs to keep being faithful, keep loving, keep serving. And I think many, many people are aware, actually, the church is doing a wonderful thing on the local ground levels. You know, we're part of a sort of citywide food bank WhatsApp group. And it's beautiful just how many of the people involved are kind of faith groups trying to make a difference.
So where do you think this will go next? I mean, presumably you've had lots of phone calls and messages since this went live. You know, has there been media interest? Do you think there'll be more follow-up? Do you think there's more to come out of this?
Who knows? I mean, I'm holding it all really, really lightly. I think, it was released yesterday, Sunday. It's been a phenomenal response. I mean, what we've seen is, from both Christians and non-Christians alike, loads of people have been getting in touch saying, when I watch this, I just find myself weeping. You know, I'm just moved to tears. I think the spirit of God on it, the sense of unity, the diversity, you know, you've got the Coptic Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, the Pentecostal, the Church of England, the, you know, AOG. It's just stunning. And so I guess I feel God's going to do with it what he wants to do with it. I love the fact that no one owns it. It's not about an individual. You watch the video, you know, you don't necessarily know who the people are, but you just catch the spirit of, this is the church delighting in God and delighting in these words of blessing over the UK. So I guess watch this space, see what God does, but it's exciting.
It is quite remarkable how this has been, I mean, I guess worship music in itself has arguably been quite a strong force for unity for some time. It's often struck me that we might be in our own different denominations, but so often we're actually singing the same songs of worship. You know, there is a lot of bickering and fighting that goes on between churches, sadly. And yet something like this gets put out and it seems like suddenly overnight we're all on the same page. And it does seem to bring people together in quite a remarkable way, doesn't it?
Well, I think there's something deep within us that wants to feel united, you know, and Psalm 133, that, you know, God commands a blessing when brothers and sisters dwell, connect, live in harmony. And I think these songs are just moments where it's like, hang on a sec, you know, we have all these petty disagreements over silly little things. Bottom line is God loves us and God loves the world. And we want to be a conduit. We want to be people who just kind of put the megaphone out and say, God loves you. And so I think that's, it reminds us, and again, Jesus praises in John 17 that we might be one. So I think it's so deep within us. Sometimes we don't quite understand how deep it is within us. So when we see it, that's why I think people are responding by weeping, because there's a deep cry within us to love one another, to connect and to serve.
Church leaders up and down the country have been completely changing the way they do church since lockdown began. Yeah. And even before that, really, with online church, I think has suddenly gone from something a few people were doing to now something that almost everyone has to do by necessity. Yeah. When all of this is over, and we don't know when all of this will be over, but when we get back to some kind of normality, if that is even possible, will church go back to normal?
Well, I think this is the big question. I think there'll be some things, of course, that will go back to normal eventually. But I think we have an opportunity, and I think this is going to be the hard work, but the really essential and important work of church leaders and teams to really think through what actually needs to change. I think the great tragedy would be we all just carry on as we were doing exactly the same things and sort of look back and go, oh, that was a weird kind of year, 18 months. I think we need to really listen. What is God doing in our nation? What is God doing in us? How can we communicate more effectively? What activity are we involved in that we don't need to do so much of? How does this change us? I mean, I think what we're seeing is this amazing opportunity for God empowering local households to take responsibility for their faith, that church doesn't just become this one thing that we go to a building, we go to an event, we go to, but actually let's take responsibility for our faith, for our families, for our communities. Just think about, you know, our street that we live on. We sort of started up this WhatsApp group, and I know many in our church have, probably many in churches all over the UK have. We're connecting with our neighbours in a way we haven't done, you know, since we moved to Birmingham. And I think this is just the stunning opportunity that church actually should be in some way happening on every street in the UK. And if we could live like that, that's going to radically change things, rather than it's just being one event on a Sunday. I think also we're seeing with the online stuff is it's so easy to invite your friends. You know, come along. You know, you can try church out from the safety of your lounge. You know, you don't have that awkward thing of stepping into a building. What am I going to meet? You know, people carry so much shame. And so I think this is providing an opportunity to communicate this gospel message in a really easy way. And we've certainly seen significant numbers, you know, coming to faith each Sunday in our services in a way we've not seen previously. We're seeing so many friends, you know, family members who aren't Christians engaging each week with our Sundays. And so we've got to think, what does that look like? We, you know, do we try and keep an online presence? But also remembering there's something beautiful when we actually gather together as people, you know, shoulder to shoulder, worship together. So I think there are some important things that we really need to navigate for the future.
There's been a bit of a debate on that, hasn't there? Almost theologically, what, if anything, do we lose when we do church online? There's been fascinating debates about things like communion. Can you take communion if you're by yourself in a house and all you've got is a sort of church leader on a screen in front of you? But you hinted at your answer there, saying that you do lose something if you're not together in the same room. So presumably for you, this is not going to be a question of, you know, we'll just sort of put all of our eggs in one basket with online church. We'll put all our resourcing into online church for the long term. For you, you are hoping to get back to real life, face-to-face community. Do you think that something like discipleship, for example, really kind of has to happen in a face-to-face context like that?
Well, I think it's both and. I mean, I think we've seen actually, you know, we've been launching Alpha. And I know HDB Alpha, the numbers have gone through the roof online. And actually, it's working brilliantly. We're releasing in two, you know, one or two Alpha courses a week to engage people. So actually, you know, I'm part of a small group in my church and sort of eight guys. And actually, it's been some really beautiful, honest conversations. I mean, I think sometimes some people, perhaps it's easier, feel like safe in your, you know, I'm in my home study. You're connecting with people all over. And you're, I don't know, I think there are some things that actually work really well online. I think you massively can disciple, encourage, journey with people online. But we are also, we're meant to be connected together. If our only interaction is online, that's not great, because, you know, that's what I'm missing as a pastor. There's so much nuance you miss, body language, you know, just being around people, how they're doing, you know, what's going on. And the joy, you know, when you're in church and there's hundreds of people and you're all united, singing these songs, hearing these messages, praying these prayers, that's powerful. And you can't quite replace that through kind of endless Zooms. So, but I think some really beautiful discipleship is happening through online platforms.
So just tell me a bit about life personally for you, being on lockdown at home. What's been your lockdown high and your lockdown low so far?
Lockdown high. Well, I think I've loved the opportunity to innovate, to try new things, seeing our church come alive. And, you know, we've seen with our church people praying like we've never prayed before, you know, that love your neighbor, serving like we've never served before, you know, actually being around our family, especially there's a few weeks where it was really sunny. It was just beautiful. So there's been some really special moments, but gosh, there have been some really hard moments where you're worried about loved ones who are sick, you know, the kind of chaos and the trauma that's happening globally, moments where you feel just suddenly flat. You know, I think that's why I talk to most friends. It's like, there's a lot more up and down, you know, you just feel, oh, where's this going? How's this going to finish? You know, another day, it's like Groundhog Day. You know, we're homeschooling four kids, you know, you might have been hearing them scream in the background. You know, I just come from teaching English and, you know, vowels and, you know, plural, you know, similar, you know, I didn't sign up to do that. So there's some, definitely some testing moments in all of that. But that's again, beautiful. I think that's why, in some ways, this is a beautiful discipleship moment, because it's brought the very best and the very worst out of society, and it's brought the very best and the very worst out of me. And it's an opportunity to reflect and say, wow, where's that coming from? What? How do I invite God into that ego or that creation or whatever?
Has there been anything in particular you felt like God's been challenging you on or speaking to you about specifically in this time?
Yeah, I think it's been a real thing around, actually, prayer and worship. I'm always going to say worship, but I genuinely think that, because I think, and I've been saying this a lot and thinking about this a lot, around the role of a worship leader and a worship pastor, and in many ways the role of any senior church pastor, is not to provide a moment of connection or entertainment on a Sunday. And I think that's what a lot of our energy goes in, creating this buzz on a Sunday that's going to attract more and grow. That's important. I see the benefit in that. But the role is to equip people so that when they're at home, they can worship, they can read their Bibles, they can pray, and they've got a passion for that. And I just think that's what God's doing. He's shifting things into, guys, people have got to take responsibility for their faith. We can't be consumers here. And I think if we can do that, we're going to see the church awakened in this nation like never before. Much less emphasis on the great preacher, the great worship leader, the great church, but actually much more on households and the individuals getting right before God, praying for God's kingdom to come, and just loving people around them. That's what excites me. I think that's what God is doing. And I personally want to sort of surrender to that and go with that journey, that challenge, that kind of work that I feel the Spirit's doing in me and others.
You've mentioned already, there's been reports of the numbers of people logging on to churches going through the roof. There's been some statistics out just this past weekend about prayer on the increase. Mm-hmm. So tell me, presumably you've seen some of that at Gas Street at your church. Mm-hmm. Tell me some of the stories of what you've been seeing locally. And have you been seeing dramatic increases in attendance? So what are some of the opportunities and challenges that brings? Because one of the things I've noticed, of course, is this is entirely anonymous. If someone wants to watch a church, they can, but you've no idea as a church leader who they are, where they are. They may not all be in this country. So I imagine follow-up becomes quite tricky.
Yeah, I mean, that's partly the challenge. You don't fully know where this all goes, but we've seen, I mean, a few things we've seen on the last four Sundays, 60, 70 people give their lives to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
You know, which is more than we'd usually have, you know. And a lot of those are funneling through to Alpha. I mean, again, yeah, not everyone's watching from Birmingham. There are people tuning in from all over. So that's been really encouraging. And we're getting lots of stories of people, you know, my mum's watched it, you know, like one of our staff, been praying for the mum for years to become a Christian. You know, she tuned in on Easter Sunday and off the back of that said, I want to do Alpha. You know, that's, these are great moments that we're seeing replicated. So that I think the salvation has been really exciting. And then, as I said, we've been trying to increase our prayer muscle, as it were, as a church, as a community, because we strongly believe that's the best thing we can do. And, you know, we launched 24/7 prayer 4 or 5 weeks ago. And so the church has been virtually 24/7 in prayer since then. We've prayed well over 1,000 hours of prayer. That's going to change us. That's going to mark us. That's going to change the city. And that's I guess the challenge, isn't it? That we don't, now we close that down, but actually no, now we keep going. I think that's going to have a massive impact. And as I said, just the opportunity to partner in our city, serving the vulnerable, and that's what the church should be, right at the front lines, serving it. And many people have been doing that for years, but I think lots of other churches are really leaning into it as well.
You and I have both been in meetings, church meetings, prayer meetings. We've both sung songs about this word, the word being revival. Mm-hmm. Longed for, hoped for decades in this country. Some have predicted it, some have prophesied it, some are now saying we are on the cusp of it, and all that's going on is gonna bring a dramatic change to the spiritual climate, spiritual temperature of this country. And what you're talking about of seeing more people become Christians on a Sunday is just the beginning of that. But what's your thoughts on that? Do you think that perspective will be proven to be true in the coming weeks and months, that we will see something quite dramatic happen here and we're just seeing the early signs of it? Or do you think we should be perhaps withhold judgment a little longer because we don't know exactly what's going on?
I'm an optimist. You know, I always think about the next 5 years and the next 10 years. So I think God's doing something really special. I mean, he has been in the church for the last few years. You know, church has been praying more, across the board in many, many churches, hearing much more regularly of people coming to Christ each Sunday. You know, I think they're the early signs of things shifting. And I think, you know, whenever something at this scale globally happens, you have to believe God's going to work in and through it. I don't believe God has sent this virus, but I believe God can use it to really speak into people's lives. And we're seeing that there's a hunger and an openness when suddenly everything that you thought was so secure, your personal freedom, ultimately finance, is all been stripped away. You have to ask the big questions. What is this all about? And so I think we have a massive opportunity. I always believe God is about to do something remarkable. I think we don't want to get carried away. I always get a bit wary of people sort of predicting dates and, you know, we're going to see this, that and the other in the next year or 18 months. But I think I want to pray like God's going to do something remarkable. I want to live like that. And I want to serve fully anticipating God's doing something special in our country.
Thanks so much for being with us on The Profile. It's been a special edition of the show dedicated to that song, The Blessing. It's a song that's taken the world by storm. As I said, the UK version of The Blessing now that Tim Hughes was involved in. At the time of speaking to Tim back in May, it had 1 million hits. Now in December, it's 4 million. That is a video that has gone viral and has been shown across the country. It's even seen Tim Hughes pick up an award from the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. So it's a video that's had a really profound effect. And I have to say, in a year of 2020, in a year of pandemic, it's been nice to share a good news story. And I think we can all agree the UK blessing is a massive good news story. So I hope that Megan Cornwell's interview with Carrie Jobe, who wrote the song, and also my interview with Tim Hughes, has given you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes insight into how these things are done and has encouraged you today as well. We will be back same time, same place next week for more great interviews for you coming from the team here at Premier Christianity. We're the UK's leading Christian publication, and we are interviewing people about all sorts of different topics, both in the magazine and right here on the Profile podcast. If you enjoy these podcasts, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a rating and a review wherever you got this from. It helps other people to enjoy the show. And if there is an episode you particularly enjoyed, why not share that on social media? Another great way of spreading the word. Doesn't cost you anything, but it really helps us out. Talking of things that don't cost you anything and that are absolutely free, we are giving away the special Christmas issue of Premier Christianity free of charge. If you would like our December issue featuring the Nativity as you've never seen it before, that interview with Carrie Jobe and loads more, why not head to premierchristianity.com/free sample. Give us your address and we'll put a copy in the post to you. Easy as that. premierchristianity.com/free sample. Okay, that really is the end of the show now. I'm going, I promise. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next time.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.